is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello. I'm changing my approach this week, Ben, because I got slagged off during the week for basically repeating what the intro says by saying that we are the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, etc., etc. So this particular person said, why do you just repeat everything that's already in the voiceover? It's pointless. So I said, all right, Grant, have it your way. Hello, Ben. How are you?
Hola, Stephen. How are you?
Ben Cleary, of course, lest we mix you up with somebody else. It's been it's been an interesting couple of weeks. We had the potential, well, the only way it could have been better was if Drogheda had have won the game on Saturday as well, and we would have cost balls and pats their European places in back-to-back weeks. It didn't quite work out that way. We did cost pats their European place. It was extremely funny. Discuss.
Yeah, I mean, you've just kind of hit the nail on the head. It was absolutely hilarious. Stephen Kenny with one of the all-time soft meltdowns after the game, saying they've been without their best players for most of the year, which is just... Look,
are we going straight in here?
The man is delusional.
So, from reading between the lines, and... Ramal Palmer, obviously, is very, very, very good. He was one of those ones that when Pats re-signed him, I kind of went, that's definitely a bit of a statement now. You know, he's a serious player, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, pinning your fifth place finish on not having a player for, like, how long has that guy been out? A crazy amount of time. It's just very strange. It's... making excuses. It's like, as far back as I can see here, just at a quick glance, I'm as prepared as always. Like, as far back as May, he definitely hasn't played. Has he played this year at all, that lad?
I actually don't know.
So,
genuinely no idea.
Like, when somebody's out for that long, you can't... I don't know. I just think if that was our manager, when you've just put in a tragic effort at winning a game to qualify for Europe, and you're then blaming it on the players you don't have, rather than aiming it at the lack of urgency of the players that you do have, that's just, it's weak, it's lame. I'd be disgusted if Joey came out with a line like that after a performance like that. I think we're blessed. I'm nailing my colours to the mast here, because if Joey does turn around at some stage the next couple of weeks and says something way off the wall, I might end up with egg on my face. But it's true. Like, I just mad excuses to make. He then said they had some great performances in the team on Saturday. I don't know. This is the thing. And I look back at the starting 11. I don't know.
He's talking about?
It must be, but I mean, if your goalkeeper's a standout performer every week, you probably have a problem along the line somewhere. Well, they're in meltdown, I think.
As they should be. They're the biggest budget in the league, and they're a bunch of bums.
Bunch of bums. Very well put. But, like, they've had a tragic season.
It's absolutely pathetic. Like, it really is. Like, they just... like, they had no personality about them. They had no fire, no intensity, no nothing. Like, it's a Dublin derby, and it just looks like they rolled out of bed and just threw the shoulders up, start shrugging at everything. I don't know. Like, if they were our players and that was my manager, good luck. I'd rather start watching golf.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The ultimate shame. I just looking at their results, and look, it's obviously about us, not about them, but I do think it's important to highlight this kind of nonsense talk. They bet Rovers a few weeks ago, got very giddy, they were well in the hunt for the European spots, and then their results since a lame 0-0 away to Bowes, a disgraceful draw at home to Waterford where they got booed off, and then they drew 0-0 with us, who I know second place was obviously there for the taking. We were hoping for that. Now that got put to bed fairly quickly when Derry scored, but like nothing majorly riding on the game for us as such. And if you watch that game as a neutral, you would think we were the ones that desperately needed to win to qualify for Europe. Just bizarre. And we should have won the game. We obviously had, it was a H had one, bobbled and hit the post. Well, he's claiming it bobbled and hit the post with the chance right at the end, and Ang pulled off a couple of saves. We were the only team that looked like winning it. Or yeah. Am I just being very biased there?
No, that's a fair shout. I actually, as we sit here recording this, I cannot remember one thing they did in that game.
I remember one thing. I remember Keane Levy blasting over the bar because the noise from the Riverside was nothing short of sensational. When he ballooned over the bar, that's all I remember. And it's only more so because of our reaction rather than anything they had done.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It struck me as a bit weird. Like, they just didn't. They had, I'm not, like, obviously, as you said, second was in play for us, but they had everything to play for and didn't look like it at all.
No, they didn't. They were soft as puppy shit. Anyway, we talked about them for too long. They're crap. Don't mind them. Fair to say, they choked on their way to their trying to win their European spot back.
But,
the team was interesting. I remember we had a comment last week from somebody saying, would we put out maybe like a weaker team, you know, with looking ahead to the Drita game, which is obviously on Thursday. Today, probably as most of you are listening. No JJ, no Meepo, no Jack Henry Francis. Is that with a view to Thursday, would you say?
I mean, yeah, you could probably say that, but like, Meepo does feature, Jack does feature in the game. Like, my thinking is if they're being truly rested for Thursday, does Meepo play 30 minutes? Does Jack play 30 minutes?
Like, yeah, it's a fair point.
I turn around now and with stuff like that, and I know I'm probably cliche to say, but I don't think there is a weakened squad. Like, I don't think we actually have one. I think we have a really good squad and players are ready to fill in. Like, Coyler, I thought, played wonderfully. You spoke to him after the game. I thought he acquitted himself really well. He really, really strong performance. Obviously, he's had to do an awful lot this season in terms of whether he's filling in the back three, he's a centre-half in a two, even when there's a press on, when they're pushing up. Or he's back in midfield. I thought he looked really strong, really comfortable breaking up the play.
A change in shape as well. We always have this moment when the game kicks off, you're kind of looking going, yeah, right, okay, we're as is. We're kind of at 3-5-2 or 5-4-1, whatever. There's loads of different ways you can put it. We change an awful lot during the game. But a back four.
Yeah.
Again, with a look to Drita on Thursday, maybe. What I would say is, you've mentioned Coyler, so you should, because I think Coyler's been in, I'd probably say, an awkward position. I'd say it's hard to, you know, you're the captain, obviously, of the club, and such an ever-present last year, and then this year, maybe you find yourself in and out of the team, he's had to fill in probably an area of the pitch he's not familiar with. Can't be easy, I wouldn't have thought, for Coyler, because we know how driven he is, how professional he is. I'd say not playing every week or starting games every week is killing him, but to come into that midfield role, and it was Dylan Doyle actually that said, how about those Mark Coyle midfield minutes? More of that, please, and thank you.
Yeah, there were some wonderful tackles where I just found myself applauding.
Oh, yeah. Like, just yes. Classic. Yeah.
Laughing like a Bond villain up in the newsstand.
Classic Coyler stuff, I would say. And that, I think, is what he gives us that nobody else gives us. nobody has that same kind of... Peak Coiler was basically running around like an absolute lunatic, bashing into people and winning possession. And he obviously then started to develop into, you know, he was better on the ball and he was picking passes and driving forward. But that was vintage Coiler for me on Saturday. And he was fucking brilliant. And I was really, really happy for him. But typical Mark, he had to do media after the game because it's the last game of the season. The tradition would be the captain speaks. And he was so level-headed, very little, didn't give much away. He was just professional as always. And think it's a mark of the man. So definitely very, very, very happy for Mark Coyle. Again, like, played well. You can't, there's nobody you could really point at and say, wasn't great, didn't do much to put a case forward for Thursday. Just to go back, somebody did ask, I think it was Dean, is Stephen Kenny going to be sacked? Now, I think there's two questions there. Should Stephen Kenny be sacked and will Stephen Kenny be sacked?
Probably should. Just on the basis of he's dramatically underperformed with the highest budget in the league. And they don't look in any way to improve on that. If you pin your whole season on one player as well, that's a bit soft. I don't know. I think we said this, I think when he was announced or very close to that duty, we talked briefly about, was he yesterday's man coming into the league? Would he know it much, like what he would do, and would he get found out? And I don't know. Like if a lot of Pats fans are very angry, you see on socials. I think he probably should go. Is there better? Don't know. Will they be able to get rid of him? Also don't know. Doubt it.
I think it's a dangerous game to read into social media too much. We probably know that more than anyone else. But the vast majority of even like Pat's people you hear, and like they're seasoned people, like, you know, they're around a long time. It's not like knee-jerk social media kind of reactions. I've heard a few people just say they're really not happy. Team looks lost, not getting the best out of players. But it's the whole thing. It's a notoriously good contract he's on, if the rumours are to be believed. So can you afford to do it? Don't know. Will they want to do it because of the optics? Again, don't know. But I've seen a thing the other day. An awful lot of that squad are already signed up. So for next year, like, and beyond. So it's very difficult to get rid of players. If a player turns around and says, no thanks, I'm going to stay. Not really a lot you can do. So I think it's a big off-season for Pats. Few teams, actually. Very important off-seasons. Probably us as well. But look, we'll get to that type of stuff later on. Player of the Month nominees, Ben, Karen, Jack Henry Francis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well-deserved. Yeah. Has H been shafted again?
Probably. I mean, it wouldn't be the league if H wasn't overlooked. Feel like we highlight him most weeks. He's been a standout, a complete different animal to what he was last year. He himself has said it multiple times that he was disappointed with how he came back, which is strange to say, consider last season he was immortalised. But this year he's everywhere. He's better than the H we saw the first time around. He's just a more complete player. I think he really does well. He keeps us ticking over. We talked about JJ before, how he keeps us ticking over. I think Harry's really good at that as well. He's very progressive. Like, you get on the ball, he'll look to make something happen. I think on the basis of things, we're a better team with him in it.
100%. Do you know what gave me a good laugh today, actually? I seen, I think, is it Stato LOI is the guy on Twitter, really good. He puts up, like, he's not one of these fellas that claims to be a master tactician or anything. He just puts up facts and, like, very hard stats that you can't really argue with. And Harry was the most subbed off player this year, which I think is hilarious, because he's on record saying, you know, he's worked really hard to get in better shape. The managers commented on it. I know the former manager had commented on it before he left, and he's still the most subbed off player, which I enjoy. I think that's a lot of that's probably down to we have an awful lot of talent in that area as well, so it's easy to kind of take him out and not really weaken the team. But
he also runs himself into the ground.
Correct.
Like, you can't really fault effort.
You stopped me before I got a chance to finish that. But look, we won't argue.
All right, it's all right.
Bit of housekeeping. Nice to see Chadwick's back on board for another 2 years, Ben. And their initiative, what do we make of this? Leaving it in people's hands of what basically gets done first. You see this video with Boyd and Rachel Graham?
Seeing it, yeah. I mean, power to the people.
Yeah, I like it. It's unique.
I like it. It's because, as well as that, obviously, with the news this week, which I'm sure we'll discuss in depth.
Oh, yes.
Talca Park is ours. Like, it's there. It's confirmed. It's in writing. No one's going to take it back. It's ours to do with whatever for my lifetime, your lifetime, and generations way beyond ours, which is incredible. But I think giving the power to the people that are going to be there every week, that makes sense to me.
So, look, let's go there. Tuesday of this week, obviously the announcement was made that Shell signed a 250-year lease with Dublin City Council for Talca Park. And for, like, look, we've been over this before. Like, we've talked about what Talca means to us personally, to an awful lot more people outside of us, older people than us, younger people than us. But for the place to be in our hands for the next 250 years, it's just like when the Daily Mail stuff all came out, this just seemed so far away, you wouldn't believe. And only for a few, and I know they don't mind being called this, stubborn bastards who refuse to give in, basically. I know I've seen today, like, it was a Zoom call, basically a desperate last minute Zoom call, and it went from that to the South Talca Park campaign, to now that they've saved Talca Park. And I'm on record on here before of saying we owe an unpayable debt to those few stubborn bastards who wouldn't let it go. And I know they don't want credit, they don't want to be named, all that kind of stuff, but they know who they are. And like, I hope they basked in every nice message and everything you would have seen on social media. Like, it was everywhere yesterday, that news. And at the same time, another club scrambling to, you know, get their own outrageously overpriced ground sorted just to see it. It was just, oh, made me so happy. I got a text off somebody to say, probably a bit dramatic, but I'm sitting here in tears. This was obviously Tuesday. I'm the same. Like, I was the same. I don't mind saying that. A certain video, and I'm going to just go straight in now with me Richie Baker, Darren Cleary's voiceover for that Talca video. It's just, it's goosebump stuff, isn't it?
It's well deserved. I actually, I was out doing a bit of shopping, and the video came out, and I stopped in the middle of McDonald's in Dundrum, and I sat there watching the video. And I'm not ashamed to say that there was a few tears into the chicken nuggets. And that actually is 100% true. I sat there tearing up. It's impossible not to. When you see what Talca Park has meant to people, what it means to people. Like, Talca Park's not just a place you go to watch football. As the video says, it's home. It's the place where you, Duty Eye, a lot of other Reds have met some of the best people in your life. Like, you walk through the gates, it's not about the seats, the floodlights, it's the faces, it's the memories, the laughs, the nerves, the nights you're never going to forget. Every corner of that stadium has a different story. We've all grown up there. That's where our friendships became family. Like, you can't buy that, you can't build that. That's just Talca Park, and that's what that is to us.
And long may it continue. It can't be touched. And it's bigger than any result. It's bigger than any European qualification. It's bigger than any league win. So enjoy it. But enjoy it without any pressure, because it's not going anywhere. We look, we'll get to Thursday now shortly. Obviously, it's treat at home in the Conference League. League phase, lest anyone forget.
I'm just glad we're at home, so I don't have any stupid facts and stuff to worry about by you.
Oh, well, that... hold your horses, is what I would say on that. Ben.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the asylum. Welcome to your Kosovo quiz.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, you could have given us a... Oh.
I got woken up at 3:10 this morning by the dog wanting to go out to the toilet. So I trudged down the stairs, let the dog out, let the dog back in, came back up to bed, couldn't sleep. So you'll be delighted to know I put these 10 questions together at about 4 o'clock this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
So, Ben, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. As a geography teacher, name 2 of the 4 countries that border Kosovo.
Oh, God. Serbia, Albania, North Macedonia.
Very nice. That's 3. I only needed 2. Can you guess the other one? You got one. You should get the other one.
Albania?
No, you got... So, you have Serbia, Albania, North Macedonia. You're missing one. It's very obvious.
Montenegro.
Correct. Bingo. Great start. What's the capital of Kosovo, Ben?
Pristina.
Very good. What year did Kosovo play their first competitive fixture?
Oh, God. Am I getting any kind of hint?
Absolutely not. This is not the chase.
2016.
Incorrect. 2018. Good guess, though. There's 2 official languages in Kosovo. What are they?
They speak Serbian and Albanian.
Very good. True or false, the currency of Kosovo is the euro.
Oh, true.
Yes, very good.
It's because it's not part of the eurozone or the EU. It was adopted after independence.
Correct.
I know that. It's part of the EU bit and the geography course.
How many leagues have Drita, our opponents, on Thursday won?
Oh God, 5.
Incorrect. 3. Bin men. What year did Kosovo declare independence from Serbia?
Oh Jesus. 2008.
Very good. Stop Googling.
I'm actually not Googling. I wish I was. I was trying to think.
Which empire ruled Kosovo from the 15th century to 1912? Even I knew this.
The Ottoman Empire.
Very good. There is a unique feature on the Kosovo flag. Only Kosovo and one other country share it. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's a blue flag with like the country and stars, isn't it?
Yes, so what's the unique bit? There's plenty of blue flags, Ben.
The country on the flag.
Yes, very good. Do you know what the other country is that has that feature on their flag?
No, I do not.
Cyprus. Yes. I've caught you out. And last but not least, because I just enjoyed this for how random it was. There is a statue of a former US president on the streets of Kosovo. Name that president.
Oh, God. George W. Bush.
No, very close. There's a street named after him. But the president who has a statue in Kosovo is Bill Clinton, which I just find hilarious. I don't know why.
Jesus
Christ. Probably in the red light district.
Bill Clinton is listening, you didn't mean that.
A very, very respectable effort.
The geography ones were fine.
Yeah, I was going to try and do the intro in either Serbian or Albanian, but I felt I could have been opening a can of worms with which one I chose, and then Serbian has letters that I've never seen before, so I gave up on it. But very, very impressive, Ben. Very impressive. So, down to the real business. Thursday, Conference League, league phase. The Reds are going to continue all the way up to week or so before Christmas. Are we in must-win territory here? If you want to have any chance of qualifying.
Yeah, like, every game is must-win. Like, this especially, I think, because, as you said, in terms of quality, it might be our closest match financially, we'll say. So, I think, yeah, look, we have home advantage. I know it's our home away from home, but you just know it'll be a good atmosphere. You know the crowd are going to be behind the Reds. That's going to stand to us. I think that'll be big. Like, I don't know if people realise how big a role they have to play in this game.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. I don't know whether it is lost on people sometimes, but it definitely shouldn't be. As Conor Lack actually said, Drita game's a great test. It's a team we should arguably beat, and it would make up for the Skopje disappointment. I would say Drita would take great exception in us, in any sort of attitude from us of, well, we should roll in here and win this game. We've been burned by this before. It's been a thing, maybe not the last, certainly not the last couple of months, but before that, there was this thing of sometimes we roll into games thinking, yeah, we'll do the job here. Like, famously, we had no issue in Dublin derbies the year we won the league, but those other games we'd fall down in. I don't think there's any of that anymore. I think that might have gone away. It certainly seems to have. But if you're a Drita supporter, you're rubbing your hands together at this one, surely saying, here we go, let's get over here. Like, they've had two draws. They've picked up two more points than we have. So could we really be calling ourselves favourites?
I mean, if you don't go in, like, we've talked about this before, about how you go out and approach these games. We've gone out in every game so far and tried to impose our game plan on it. Like, the way we play, it hasn't been a typical case of what you would have expected, where you're trying to take anything you can get. I think if we go out there, play the way we're more than capable of, like, no reason why we couldn't take 3 points.
Yeah, well said. They've had a decent start to this campaign. Like, they drew with Cups of Finland and Ammonia of Cyprus. Like, as I say, it's two more points on the board than we have at this stage. They're sitting third in the league at the minute, but they picked up a good bit of form. They've won four of their last five. I actually think it's set up to be a great game, and I think this probably encapsulates what the Conference League is about. Two kind of clubs from countries that never in a million years would have probably thought they'd be in group stage, league stage football going at it. There's obviously a financial incentive there for the clubs. There's a realistic chance, like, if you win this game, especially for them, if they were to come here and win on Thursday, they will seriously fancy their chances of qualifying for the next phase. So it has the feel of an everything on the line. Are you expecting us to dominate the game? Like, we had spells against Häcken where we dominated, spells against Scandinavia where we dominated. Are you expecting a more full 90 minutes of domination this time around?
I don't think you can expect a full 90 minutes of domination in any European game, respective to the opposition. I think there is going to be spells where you will have to live without the ball for a bit. But I think, like, we showed that during Häcken and obviously over Scandia, like, we're more than happy to do that. We're more than happy to weather a storm and then come out. I think it's going to be a comprehensive performance. I don't know if it'll be a full 90-minute ball-dominant performance, but I think we're going to have to be up to our best. I think we will be.
Yeah, I did. I know I'm probably talking an awful lot about them, but I just feel for them, this game is like they obviously play us, and then their next game in the Conference League, they're at home to Scandia. So, like, they'll obviously be gauging air performance against the Macedonians, matching it up against themselves and saying, well, if we could you know, win one of those two games and nick a point in the other, because they finish up with Alkmaar at home and Rayo Vallecano away. So difficult, difficult games there. I think this could be a cracker on Thursday. Look, I hope it's a boring 1-0. Give me that any day of the week. But I get a feeling it's two teams that just go out, have a proper crack off it. Do you feel like our change in shape on Saturday is geared towards this game, maybe giving us a little bit extra in the final third, maybe being able to give us a little bit more control?
I won't lie to you, Judy, I have no idea.
And this is why we are only going reacting to every European game from here on out, because
I mean, anytime we look at shape, anytime we talk about shape or team, we're always miles off it anyway. So
yeah, it's fucking nonsense, really. It really is.
I think that whatever we do, there's a lot of players that you're hoping will have big games. Like, you look at like Milan, he's been really important in the run. You look at the likes of Chuck on the other side, like getting up and down the pitch, whether it's as part of a flat back four or if it is that three centre half and they're playing as the wing backs, like they have a massive role to play in terms of how quickly we move up the pitch. Like, can we spread them and actually attack them? Like, there's a lot that they have to do, I think.
Look, let's put an end to the spoofing, Ben. We've given the Drita game as much of a preview as we can. I've given you a rough idea where they're at. That's anything after this is just complete and utter bunkum. And
yeah, but if anything that we say comes true, we look like geniuses.
But then
the last thing is it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. And then we just look like fucking dopes. So there is a bit of housekeeping around the game. There's been a new ticket sent out to everybody for this one. So make sure you use the new one that's been issued to you. It should be in your emails. Make sure you check your spam. Because the old ticket won't work. It has to be this new one. Just in terms of a match day experience, obviously the club shop will be outside where it was the last time. There will be a pop-up at the back of the North Stand as well, selling club gear, which I think is a good move. There'll obviously be hot food, everything that you need will all be there and better prepared this time. If you haven't got that new ticket sent to you, obviously it's day of the game by the time you're going to be hearing this, so do get in touch with the club as soon as you possibly can. John Brennan, the SLO, is probably the best place to start. He's probably the best contact to make. He'll get back to you as quickly as he possibly can. John's number is 087-661-0927. I know he doesn't mind me sharing that. So reach out if you have any issues. Get there early. Hopefully it doesn't piss rain like the last game in Tala. But I wouldn't be holding that much faith. And hopefully the Reds do the job. And look, if you win the game, you get on to 4 points. 7 will definitely get you through. Who knows after that? Who knows what could happen? So it is. I'll call it. It's a must win. You need to be winning the game. And I do feel we will. I asked on Instagram, were people happy with third place finish? I got battered for this. If you didn't take it the way it was meant to be taken, that's not my problem. Obviously, I meant relative to how the year went. Like, if you're coming in, there was nobody at the start of the season saying, oh, I'd take third. Well, maybe some people deep down thought that way, but going by what happened halfway through the year, personally, I think third is an unbelievable finish. Caden Rowland said, considering where we were halfway through, third is a great finish. I had...
Yeah, sure. People wrote us off halfway through the year.
Yeah, we were done. We were bombs, man. Dean McDermott said, not too happy with third, but very happy with how well we finished the season. We did. So I seen one of those tables there the other day. Have we been the best team ourselves in Sligo or somebody random, I think, picked up an unbelievable amount of points.
We've been the best, so
in Joey we trust. Joe Fitzgerald asked, will the new stand be open for the new season? I don't know. I think that's the aim. Don't quote me on that, but there is definitely a plan to have the new stand open as soon as possible. Just knocking off on that Chadwick's video, I think the aim is to make it a kind of family zone. So hopefully, I sure do hope so. She shoots sport, which is obviously the great Susan, who you'll see her photos pop up on Instagram everywhere after the games. She's amazing. Gets unbelievable stuff. She said, it's not been an easy season, but the lads and Joey have done the club proud. As simple a message as that is, Ben, I think it's nail on the head stuff. This year could have went very, very differently, but...
We could have been gone. Like, there was a lot of uncertainty there from... You can say everyone from outside, but dude, even yourself, myself, we're like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, like, I remember being in the RSC with Darren, and that was obviously the game after Duffer had left. And it was a real, I remember I drove down to the game on my own. It was a real, on the way, I was nervous. I was like, how is this going to go? The wheels could totally come off this. And by the time I had gotten to the ground, Darren had obviously been around the players a little bit. He'd been around Joey. He'd been around the staff. And he just instantly went, nothing to worry about. We're totally fine. So I'm telling you now, we are absolutely fine.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Like, privately, quietly, when news drops, you're thinking the worst of it. But then, there's a lot of credit to go to Joe, the staff, the players, how they reacted to everything. And just essentially got on with it and just... It was almost a catalyst to kick on, and that's what we did. At that point of the season, we were doing nothing. We were going nowhere. Bowles had already won the league at that point, probably.
They probably had.
Here, or draw to one of them.
Here's a left field comment in the question box. Didn't see this coming, to be totally honest, but Kieran said... He obviously meant the PA announcer Tolkien needs changing. There's too much of a Leinstertainment vibe to him. Where are we standing on this one, Ben? I have a pretty firm stance on this, but I want to see what you think first.
I don't agree.
Why?
I think there's a real professional element to it. Like, people might see it as... He sounds like every other PA announcer. Exactly, completely inoffensive and good at the job, I would have thought.
Oh, that's very weird. That's so weird. I'll get to why that's weird now. But my only gripe, and I'm not sure whether it's a PA thing or whether it's the playlist or
Music, the walkout music.
Can you confirm to me, was Simply the Best played on Saturday when the teams were walking out?
I believe it was, yes.
That's not good. Been that. Never again. I never, ever, ever again do I want to hear that in Talca. That's my only gripe.
But...
I...
Dude, the good thing is now, with obviously the system that we have, that message will be relayed to the right people and it will be gone.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. I just hate that song. It's connected to too many wrong clubs and I just don't like it. But... Again, that could just be a me thing. I don't know. Everyone has their own opinions. My biggest thing on PA announcers is the only reason you should be able to pinpoint a PA is because they're shy. Like if you think now of PA announcers around the league, Ben, what or who do you think of?
Straight away, Dundalk.
Yes, because it sounds like a supermarket. When he's coming on and off. You can't pronounce players' names. I think of Sligo. That's Sligo. Where the famous Tyreke Wilson came from.
Tyreke Wilson.
And the worst effort. Adamibo is not a hard name to say. It's just not a hard name to say. Like, I don't know. John's worse as well. I was about to go full Roy Keane there, but your job is to read out the names of the players. That's your... most important reason you're
there. People on commentary ask, how do you say this name? They'll research how to say the name. We went to Rijeka where you did the commentary. You asked the people in the ground, hello, how are you? I'm Stephen. How do you say this name?
Well,
be professional.
You got part of that right. I did ask how you pronounce names, but I definitely didn't introduce myself in a professional way like that. I would have just wandered up going, how say this? How say this? That would have been more me, but it's true. Like, if you don't know, you just ask. Like, it's not that hard. And the worst part is, the biggest out you can have is just call him Meepo. Just call him Meepo. It's on his jersey. It's fine. Make life easy for yourself. But for the love of God, Adam Meepo is not a hard name to say. Jesus
just sound
Christ,
it out.
It's not.
It sounds how it's spelled.
I genuinely, Ben, right, my 7-year-old is downstairs at the moment. I could get her now and she would make a better attempt at that just by sounding the letters out. It's bizarre stuff. But back to the point I was making. The only reason you should know or be able to pinpoint a PA announcer is because they're shy. And they're annoying and they're desperate. Like the Aviva fella, he's dirt. He's absolutely dirt. And I think that could be what Kieran's alluding to, that kind of, you know, oh, welcome, that type of thing. I personally don't think Dave's like that. I don't think I've ever been like, what is he on about? I definitely haven't, actually. Definitely not. Because I'm a narky, narky man. And I definitely would have picked up on something.
You complain about everything. So.
But again, opinions. Everyone has them. So I like people expressing their opinions on here. I think it's important. It's important we talk about stuff. We're very quick to talk about all the positives. Need to talk about stuff people don't like as well.
I do see the point. Like, I do agree with you, what you're saying. Maybe it is that thing of where it kind of sounds like the lad who does Leinster games or the Aviva or the big kind of family games where you have that energy of let's get behind the players, and you're like, then you hear that in talking, you're like, ah, come on, stop. Like, I'd get it, but I'd rather that than
do you know what it is as well, Ben? Like, it's so hard to please everyone. Like, if we weren't having to like actually do things at a game, I would lean towards going to the Riverside. That's just the way I would have watched games when I was a kid and stuff like that as well. So that, generally speaking, that side of the ground, more partisan, bit more, I don't want to say hardcore loyal, that's not fair because you have the same in the main stand, but they have a different outlook and philosophy on the game and the way it should be. Like, little stuff like, you know, when I was a kid, my lasting memory of Tolke was when Jason Byrne scored, La Bamba would play. And ask anyone of that age and they'll say the same thing. Now, I know some people don't like music being played after goal is scored. Some people don't like music being played as the teams are walking out. Now, the argument against that is, if you don't play music and it's maybe say you're playing a Leinster Senior League team in the Cup at home, and there's not much atmosphere, it could be like walking out to a library. I get that as well. So you'll never please everyone. Everyone wants something different. A wise man once told me, always aim to piss off the fewest amount of people you can, because you'll always piss someone off, but just try and limit it. So I think the club as a whole have done a pretty good job of that in the last few years, to be honest. There's been stuff that's gone wrong, stuff that people aren't happy with. Think the club's a lot better at addressing stuff now and kind of getting opinions from people, and you only have to hang around after a game and see the important people in the club are yapping to people and liaising with people, and they're not going around like an undercover guard trying to catch people out. It's very much, you know, what can we do to help? You know, we want to make it as good for you as we can. So
yeah, not coming from the rafters like Sting.
Oh, it's bizarre. It's Sting! It's bizarre. Crazy stuff. God. I also asked about the squad in the question box, you know, who people want to see come, go, whatever it might be. Adam had said about letting go of Ellis Chapman. I'm very torn on that. Is one season enough to say no, not having him?
But he had one really good season before he got here. Like, there's very clearly a really good player in there. I don't know if he came in with a bit of a knock, but obviously he's had a bit of a knock throughout the year, which has probably impacted the impact he's had on the pitch. I think there's been definite glimpses of what he can bring. You just look at his goal against, was it Galway at home, where he just cuts in and slots it in?
Yeah. The way I look at it with Ellis, though, is I think if we had Ellis sitting between us now, he'd probably be the first to say he didn't have a good year. You know, like, it's not as if we're coming on here and, like, slaughtering somebody who's played every week and, you know, he has struggled. He's been stop-start, hasn't really got much of a run, certainly in Joey's time here, which I think could be a factor as well. Like, he played a lot of his games earlier in the season where there was an awful lot of pressure on us and we weren't having a great time. I think if you had to put Ellis in the last kind of few months, might have been a bit different, the way we've seen other players kind of pick up. So, look, it'll be interesting to see, I think, who comes and goes. A lot of people did pinpoint we need defenders, which I totally agree with. And I don't think it's not a case of replacing what we have or anything. I just think we need more bodies in that area. We've seen we've been caught out with it, with injuries and suspensions and stuff. We are just a bit light in that area. So I'm probably not saying anything anyone hasn't already said, am I?
No, I think that's probably very fair to say. I think it's just about strengthening what we have, as you said.
Yeah, I think somebody mentioned as well, we need to try and keep Wes and Chuck. Absolutely. I'm not going to argue there. I'd say we probably have a job on our hands, keeping both of them, keeping either of them or both of them. Just, they're very, very talented. I don't know where Chuck stands, to be honest with you. No, he's on loan. I don't know whether his Liverpool deal is up or is due to be up. I haven't got a clue. I'd be shocked if he hasn't got suitors in the UK. Same with Wes. I think he was only like to the end of the season type job. So, well, how they both played, I'm sure there's plenty of eyes looking at them. Would I like to keep them? Yes, absolutely. No doubt about it. Conor Cairns has been out in the grass before the last couple of games. People will have seen him just out doing a little bit, which is very encouraging. So, I think like we're in a good spot. I think we do have some bodies. Now, as far as I can tell from going back through press releases and stuff like that, I think our contract, you've got Lorcan Healy, Wes, Lewis Temple, Sam Bone, Chuck, and Dickey, I think, are the kind of... There's obviously young lads and stuff in among that as well, but they'd be the kind of main ones. So, like... There's nobody there I'd be calling, to be totally honest with you. I don't know, like, am I being... Is this one of them, Ben, where we're too nicey-nice? Like, is there somebody shouting at the radio or into their headphones at the moment going, what are you talking about? We obviously need to get rid of him. I don't think, like, nobody jumps off the page at me there.
Like, you look at all of them, anytime they've been called on, anytime they come in this year, they've been really, really good. Like, if not the start every week, they've been really good, I think, just as part of the squad and coming in.
There's also, obviously, within that, you've got Ryan O'Kane to come back. He's obviously been on loan at Sligo. He's had a really, really good time at Sligo as well. He's very, very popular down there. Yeah, he's playing regularly. He's chipped in with a couple of goals, he's got a couple of assists, so I mean, Ryan could be like a new signing when he comes back. Will certainly add something to the squad. The one that probably jumps off that needing to offer something to is probably Dickey. Now, I'd imagine he only got a year, I would say, because of his injury record. That's not been unfair to him, I don't think. So, I mean, Dickey's proven already what an asset he is, so. Yeah, I don't think we need massive changes. I think we need additions rather than changes. Is that the most diplomatic way of putting it?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Now, Richie Rankin's Ben. I should mention before, just on the European stuff, our under-20s men's team are, what time is it now on Wednesday? It is 7:15, so in an hour's time they're kicking off in their youth league game against MSK Žilina, who the Young Reds trailed in the away game against the Slovakians. They were 2-0 down, come back to 2-2. Amazing result to bring back to Tolke. Obviously, by the time everyone hears this, the result will be determined. There is the carrot of a game against Sveta Zvezda after this one. So, best of luck to all the players. We will have seen some of them have featured on the bench and stuff for the senior team this year. But look, hopefully they get through another round. They will always have that honour of being the first Reds team to play in Tolke after the lease was signed. So, not something not to be sniffed at, that's for sure. So, best of luck to them. Richie Rankins, Ben, I've given my Richie Baker already. It's Darren Cleary. And I'm sure Quiva had a hand in the video as well. The voiceover. It's just, goosebump stuff. Yeah.
No, I think Darren is a fair shout. I think there's a few. Obviously, there's too many to name and they probably won't want the credit, but the people behind Save Tolke Park, who you mentioned already. Like, for years, their concerns, they fell on deaf ears, it's fair to say.
Yeah.
like, there's no other way to put it. So, to see what we've been able to do, listening to those people and having those people on hand to help and having good people behind the scenes to get a lot of stuff over the line, it's been wonderful. And now we have a home for our lifetime, and then they've gone on and they've obviously, I don't know if you've seen, they've shared some of their funds around to some much needed causes. So yeah, amazing work there, definitely deserved, as you said, Darren. Obviously Mero again, one that features quite often, duty. I don't know if you remember, but after the game, as the players are in their warm down and Pats had to wait, you just hear Mero's laugh. That brought me great joy. And I think that's pretty much it. There's been a lot of people that have had a good week.
Yes. Epic golden from the Riverside on Saturday as well, should be mentioned. You mentioned the South Tolke Park campaign there and the Richie Baker, of course, Ben. Any of their fundraising efforts that were left over, basically all the funds that were left after the campaign was done, just to give a mention, they donated it, they split it between three. So one was Uplift, it's a people-powered campaign organisation that uses digital tools to advocate for social justice, fairness and environmental protection. Sunnis, it's Ireland's largest provider of frontline services for women and children experiencing domestic abuse in the Greater Dublin region. And HALE, which is the Housing Association for Integrated Living, Ireland's specialist mental health housing association. So, I mean, the amount of work they did in the campaign itself, and then to finish it with a gesture like that, like to bookend it that way, just touch of class, fair play to everyone involved. Can't say enough good.
It's a testament to the people involved, really, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Just who they are, it's what they wanted to do. So, yeah, amazing.
Now on to the bastards, Ben.
Richie Winder, I mentioned one. It's Stephen Kenny. It's always Stephen Kenny. Yeah, anytime we play them, he always finds something stupid to say. I just... if you just pin your entire season on one player by the looks of it.
It's crazy.
I don't know.
Stuff. Oh yeah, no, I can get behind Stephen Kenny. I'm gonna go a bit broader, actually. I'm just gonna go for the Pats fans in general, and I enjoyed people. Obviously, you probably noticed for the kit team has been down a body or two the last couple of weeks. Graham had to have a couple of days off. Carl had to have a day off there on Saturday, so I stupidly offered to help Johnny if he needed anything. Where did Johnny ask me to go, Ben?
Oh, right in front of the Pats fans.
Yes, behind the goal. So, yeah, I got some stick, which I don't mind stick. I actually enjoy it. But, this is a bit moany. It's a bit narky. I know it is, but In my opinion, calling somebody an English bastard is not right. Because if that was the other way around, I think there'd be a massive issue. Like, if you are in the UK and you're called an Irish bastard, like that's a problem for me. So I didn't really like that. I accidentally got in the way of that bit of abuse then, and I got called a baldy bastard, which is funny. I've no problem with that. Call me baldy bastard all you want. Got called a fat bastard. Loads at the collection, but I secretly enjoy it. And then I had one fella in particular. You know, you can just hear this one voice that's kind of piercing over everyone else.
Yeah.
And it was, you fucking agent. Let go of the bleeding hair. It's gone. You need to be more like him. And I looked over and he was pointing at Kerr McEnroy. So, yeah, to the Pats fans that want me to just let go of my badly receding hair, I think I'll keep it because I'll need a bit of extra hair to stop my head from burning in Europe next year.
I
also heard Harry Wood be called a hippie, which I just think that's great.
It's a bad slag.
That's great. I enjoy it now. Like, it's so early, late 90s, early 2000s Irish stick. Like, anyone with hair longer than their ears, you're hippie.
It just reminds me of that Simpsons episode. Yeah. Like, man, he shaved those sideburns.
Yeah, Harry is slowly morphing back into the Spanish fella at the top of the water slide. He's got the tash going on again.
Oh, yes.
Which I enjoy. So, look, the way he's playing at the moment, leave him at it. Long may it continue. Long may it continue. Speaking of things continuing, oh, go on. Sorry, you have something interjecting, Ben. Go on.
Just check the scores. There, Gwynell Carabag beating Chelsea.
Jesus. You know what? That result that we got against them. No, I know. People say, well, result we've been talking about beating blah, 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 blah. But we only lost 1-0 to them. Away, through an OG.
They're beating Chelsea 2-1 over there.
But their results have been insane, picking up mad results. Like, they bet Benfica in their first Champions League game, which is an insane result. Like that, funny enough, was actually a result that got the manager sacked and brought Jose back. But then they went and met Copenhagen as well in the Champions League. Like, they've had serious results, and now what they're doing against Chelsea there. I think we never got the credit we deserved for how we quit ourselves against Carabag. That one just got brushed under the rug, I think.
I think so, yeah, just because of how quick you move on to the next fixture.
Yeah, so, no, I think that's it, man. I think that is it. As we mentioned, hopefully by the time you're listening to us, our under-20s will have progressed in the Youth League. That is the hope. Enjoy the Drita game. Enjoy your extracurricular football that we have that isn't for everyone, we'll say. I've seen a few players belonging to one team who are in the sun at the moment. No such luck for our players. They're at home preparing for a massive Conference League game. So it's not for everyone, Ben.
But it's tough at the top.
It is tough at the top. We'll enjoy it nevertheless. Thank you for giving up your evening. I appreciate we're late again this week. Just real life getting in the way. So. We won't be here next week because I am away. I'm going on my holidays that coincidentally end the day that I'm due to fly out to Amsterdam to the Alkmaar game. But that's neither here nor there. I have a very supportive partner.
Very exotic life.
Yes.
From one flight to another.
Yes.
Watch the bags.
Exactly. So, we won't be with you next week, but we will give you something for Alkmaar. That I will promise. Ben, thank you very, very much.
No problem at all. Up there it is.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.